Calvin is having a rough day. He is telling Hobbes all about it, listing all the things that have gone wrong. And finally he blurts out, "This is just too much for a little kid to handle." He's overwhelmed. Have you ever felt that way? Most of us have. You discover that you have too many tasks to do in the time or in the energy you have to do them. Or you have bit off more than you can chew, and you discover your abilities are not quite adequate for the job. Or you discover that clutter has taken up residence in your house, and you don't know where to begin. Maybe the bills are piling up and you don't see a way out. Or there is a serious illness or a death and your coping skills are strained. We've all had experiences of being overwhelmed. This coronavirus has given us some new experiences of being overwhelmed. We've seen pictures of hospital workers trying to cope with an influx of patients that overran their capacities. And we watched as they tried to cope with inadequate resources and equipment and were improvising. And we've seen food banks struggling to meet the needs of an increasing population seeking help. Or we experienced being a parent working from home, doing childcare, and homeschooling. Or suddenly we are without a paycheck, and the bills are due, and we have to put food on the table. Or being isolated has morphed from being alone into loneliness and depression. The list goes on. In our scripture today, we learn that Jesus has been busy traveling around the countryside with his disciples in tow, teaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing people. He looked over the crowds gathering about him, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless and like sheep without a shepherd. He was overwhelmed by the need, and he knew he needed helpers. So he summoned his 12 disciples and sent them out with the authority to heal and to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. Now there is no evidence that they had the skills for the task that he gave them. They were a motley group and often didn't seem to get it. Nor is there any evidence that he put them through a training course. He simply gave them authority and told them to go. No doubt they were feeling overwhelmed by the enormity of the task he had given them, but they went. There is no record telling us how it all worked out or whether or not they were successful. Faced with the enormity of the task, Jesus needed helpers, and so he called on his disciples. Fred Rogers told children, when faced with tough times, look for the helpers. Who are the helpers? What was also overwhelming in this pandemic, but in a good way, was the number of people who responded and became helpers. Groups like the local face mask warriors and individuals who sewed masks by the thousands. A 15-year-old girl started a fundraising campaign to buy masks and donate them. Companies and individuals improvised to make plastic shields, some on 3D printers. Breweries turned their alcohol into sanitizer. Food pantries were overwhelmed by the donations of food from individuals and food banks by suppliers. Restaurants and others supplied thousands of meals to the workers. Medical people went the extra mile to care for their patients, often with personal sacrifice. Other essential workers rose up to the task. Individuals made phone calls to people who were alone. Care teams were organized to keep connected. Some brought groceries to those who couldn't get out. The team wrote notes to everyone in a care facility. Teachers reached out to their students. Car parades were organized to mark special occasions. The stories go on and on. Our better angels came out in overwhelming ways. And often heard were the words, "I was overwhelmed by the response and the goodness and the generosity of so many." And on a personal level, perhaps you were blessed by people who helped you through a tough situation. Or perhaps you were overwhelmed with an abundance of God's grace. While we are grateful for all this outpouring of help and rejoice in the generosity of people, the way forward is going to be even more challenging. While our main concern may be an end to social distancing and getting back to work and some kind of new normal, our bigger concern must be the healing and rebuilding of our society. There are tremendous needs to be addressed. What has surfaced in this pandemic is the great disparity in this country for access to resources. The level of poverty, effects of climate change, and lack of health insurance has made whole groups of people more vulnerable to the virus. There are structural ravines in our systems, to quote David Brooks, and gross inequality in the exercise of justice. And white supremacy and white privilege and personal and systemic racism have been laid bare in stark and painful ways. The murder of George Floyd at the hands of the police has shocked us all. We are confronted with unresolved grief and pent-up anger that has been present for a long time. And we can feel the presence of Jesus today, looking over the landscape of our current condition and asking, "Where are my helpers? I need helpers." And that is our mission, isn't it? The church, the body of Christ, has been charged with preaching the good news, The kingdom of God is here. And with teaching and healing and working for justice. And as individual disciples, we are charged with the same mission. Collectively and individually, we are the helpers Christ needs. And Christ sends us out, not just to heal and preach the gospel, but also to seek justice for the oppressed, to share the world's resources, and to care for the earth. Thomas Long put it this way, preaching the gospel and saving souls means grappling with disease and the demonic, with social segregation and the powers of death. It means, therefore, wrestling with issues of public health care, with racial and social alienation, with the powers of domination and oppression that bleed the life out of a community. Here at Union, we are engaged in preaching and teaching, in faith formation, and ministries of caring and healing, and community involvement through Habitat, EPH, Joshua, the homeless shelters, and many other groups. But as we go forward and reassess our priorities and our resources, we may need to find new, fresh ways to do what we are doing, or to discover new opportunities to be the church in the world. The church must be the people of God in a broken time. As Christians, we must unleash our imaginations, unmuzzle our mouths, unbind our hands, unshackle our feet, and open our wallets, said Jim Antle in the context of care for creation, but applicable to all of these issues. Challenging power structures, systemic racism, and domination systems will require hard and even painful work. But the overwhelming response of the protesters may be the turning point that will result in some real change. As individuals, we may not know where to begin and find ourselves really overwhelmed. But we are not powerless or without resources. The Holy Spirit is present, encouraging, guiding, and empowering us to act individually and as a community of faith in new and creative ways. Challenging times call for bold and courageous action. Saint Teresa prayed, Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which must look out Christ's compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless people now. As Jesus' helpers, in this time and place, we can begin. So repeat after me. Be the church. protect the environment, care for the poor, forgive often, reject racism, fight for the powerless, share earthly and spiritual resources, embrace diversity, love God, and enjoy this life. Amen.